Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Special.
Hey, hello.
Derek, what's happening?
Not much, man. Just enjoying summer. Waiting for the weather to cool off a bit.
Oh, August is around the corner.
I know. As they keep telling me at work, because we got all kinds of stuff going on soon. It's like, no!
Yeah, it's too fast. Way too fast. Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly. And sometimes work is fun. Sometimes.
Yeah. No. You keep telling yourself that.
Okay, maybe not fun, but interesting.
Oh, it's interesting some days. It is just... What did I say last week? It's hard to soar like an eagle.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that one.
When you're working with turkeys. And if assholes could fly, this place would be an airport.
You swore.
I know. That's my
kid friendly.
That's my first quarter in the bucket. Even around here, it's just been busy. We're doing the whole yard thing this year.
Yes.
Digging up stumps, building gardens.
What's the current score? Like it's...
Stumps are all gone.
I know, but the stumps were up by one or two at one point.
Oh, no, I was up, but they managed to take out a shovel and an axe. But they're all dug up and handed off to the transfer station for mulching.
The tree
authorities? Yeah.
The Ent Village?
Yeah, I passed them off to the Ent Retirement Village. But no, we didn't do all that sort of stuff, and Arianna had her going away little get-together on the weekend, so we did... The big brisket on the smoker, and we did smoked mac and cheese and smoked corn. And guess what I've been eating for 4 days?
Corn?
Nope, not the corn. The corn stays way over on the other side of the fridge.
Don't touch the food with that garbage.
It's just been four massive meals of brisket and smoked mac and cheese. Oh, never had it so good.
So we are.
Yeah. We are?
I'm looking at the calendar.
Yeah, she's gone.
Flies out in a week and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Empty nester.
I tell you. Let the fun begin. I got all these books over here I can start reading now.
Yeah.
Because I won't have to be doing other stuff, right? I got a ton of books, man. I got this big floor.
I see that you're collecting them. You're getting all kinds of new ones.
Yeah. Well, they're new to me.
Yes.
I got one, actually, because the other day, called Expedition from David F. Pelley.
Yeah.
And he's actually signed the inside of the book. He's like from the 70s or something.
Signed it to Diana or something?
Yeah, I don't know who she is, but if anybody asks me.
That's one of those things. It's if I get a book signed, it's like, who would I sign it to? Just sign your name, please.
Sign your name, yeah.
Because when I'm dead and gone, someone's going to go, who's Derek?
Right?
It's nobody. I'm nobody. So don't put a name. Although it was funny because when Kevin Callan signed one of my books, because for 4, 5, 6 years, he's like, and you're Dave?
For the first couple of years, he could never remember
your
name.
He could not do it.
And I think, he called you by like 7 different names.
Yeah. Just randomly.
So the one book he signed, he wrote a name, crossed it out, wrote another name, crossed it out.
Thanks, Kevin.
I think he still spells your name wrong, though.
Oh, yeah.
But at least he knows it.
Yeah, he does spell it wrong.
At least he knows it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, no, we got a ton of books here now. I got to start going through. And went to Kevin Callan's garage sale and walked out with 20 books. But at least I got bookshelves I can put them on, right? So
need a reading room.
Right?
A library. Oh, those lies. Sometimes you see people with libraries in their homes. I've only seen pictures. I've never seen anybody with an actual library in their house.
Yeah.
It might be a little pretentious.
Fictitious. Yeah.
But it would be nice to have a shelf to put books on. I'm in the new house. We haven't figured that part out yet. I got books, so boxes and boxes of books, antique books, and all kinds of stuff that I got
books going back to my teenage years. I have problems throwing out books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I've donated books and stuff like that, but I can't just toss one in the trash because I'm done with it.
I got a bunch of college books, but some of them are like $200, $400.
Right?
A scam.
Yeah, I still got those. Well, there used to be a place over in Pickering that you could go to, and that's what they took those books and gave you money for them.
Okay.
And then they would sell them because they would still be in use.
Yeah.
The following year, so students would go in there and buy discount
used books. Yeah, discount used books.
Use books for texts and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, a nice little reading room.
Yeah.
Shelves filled with books, fireplace.
Yeah.
You sit in the chair, your smoking jacket
on,
and a pipe.
Not a pipe.
Pretending to read. Sure. Doesn't have to be a lit pipe.
No, I read. I used to read more.
A big old book propped open in front of you, a comic book inside of it.
Yeah. There's no pictures on this book.
Hey, it's who's trash. Your favorite author? Hugh Hefner.
I do like graphic novels. I bet you do. I've got a bunch of Walking Dead graphic novels.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We were at the Oshawa Center at, what's the big bookstore? Chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Chapters or Indigo? I think there's an Indigo out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a huge, graphic novel section.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tons of them.
Hmm.
So, there you go. We're closer to it than I am, I think.
Yeah, I have no place to put books right now because of the new house. I have to figure that out.
Your house isn't new anymore. You've been in there 2 years.
The house was built in the early 70s.
See? House ain't new.
No, we just,
it's got an underground bunker?
We haven't figured out how to use it yet. I think we got to move again.
You go in the front door. There's all furniture in there. Does this got to be explained to you how a house works?
It's a five-level side split. It doesn't... It's just weird.
So it's an apartment building?
Pretty much.
And you can't find one room for books.
No, there's a room for it. There is a room for it. So we do have a spot for it. That's going to be the first room that we renovate when we save up some cash for that.
What's to renovate? You can put some shelves in there.
Well, the popcorn's got to come off the ceiling. Need to do something with the walls. I got to redo the fireplace.
If you put the ambiance in there, no one's looking at the ceiling anyway.
I hate popcorn ceilings.
You're not going to be looking at the ceiling. You're looking at your book reading.
It's got to go. It's got to go. Guaranteed, it's got to go. And there's some lighting ideas that I have.
So basically, you're never going to happen.
No, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I'm looking for specialized lighting right now. I could go into any, for example, when we went to the canoe museum,
mm-hmm.
I was paying particular attention to the lighting panels that they had in the ceilings. It was like, how could I convert that into my fireplace room?
Oh, how could I steal that and get it out to Sean's truck?
No, it had to be special. I'm going to have to buy, because I've been looking at stuff like that, and it's like, so the plan has to come together first. The plan. The previous house, I don't think there's a wall in the whole house that I did not open.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Walls don't open.
Well, they do if you try. Sledgehammer. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm told I got to keep that sort of stuff outside in the garage.
Yep.
Sledgehammers, pickaxes, shovels.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff is not allowed in the house. Don't ask me why, but Tracy's funny that way.
Yeah. But yeah, so I need a reading room. I'm starting to get back into reading. I used to read. We all make mm-hmm. fun of me, but I used to read. But, I went through a training program at work. And so for a couple of years, I was reading manuals and operation manuals and training manuals. And it's just like
Oh, it gets tiring.
Yeah. So yeah. I just stopped reading I haven't really read since about 2016, 2015.
See, we got, I'll take books. We got these, chairs out front.
Yeah.
Little table slides out the side.
Yeah.
There's a cup holder in it, so you mm-hmm. can put your beer and snacks. And it folds back a bit, so I can sit on the porch, watch the traffic go by, read my book.
Yeah.
Under the shade. It's like, oh.
That sounds nice.
See? You don't need a room with special lighting and no popcorn. Well, popcorn if you can eat it.
No, but you want to create an ambiance.
Ambiance.
Like a family room. A family reading room.
No!
With reading
no!
chairs.
No!
Oh, yeah.
One chair. Why do you want your family in there disturbing your peace? Dad, get out!
This is my room.
Get out!
Yeah.
Dad's scaring me! Why, the voice? No, he had a machete. If you wish to enter, please press the button.
Mm-hmm.
Bzz, go away!
Yeah. So, you know, there's a whole series of things that has to happen. It all starts... Well, the couch that's in that room has to be moved out, but so that I can start the renovation. But I can't put the couch anywhere because there's a 1910 Bowmanville piano up in the main sitting room, and that has to go away so I can put the couch there. But I'm
and
really
where are you doing with the piano?
I'm really reluctant to get rid of the piano. I had an expert come in and assess the piano. It cost me money for him to say no. He's not going to tune it and fix it up. I said, what are you talking about? He says, this piano's so old, and you'll never be able to tune it properly, and doesn't matter what I do. And so he said, but I still have to charge you money for that, because to tell you that I'm not going to tune it. It's like, you bastard.
And he's been locked in my basement to this day.
So he said, the best thing I could do with that piano is throw it away. Oh.
Well, you should have had him throw it away at the time.
I've had that piano for almost 20 years.
That's it? I've had shoes longer than that.
Well, I got it when I bought my old house. I was so excited.
Should have left it there.
Apparently.
Would have cost you less money.
Apparently.
Would have been somebody else's problem by now.
Exactly.
Can you take it apart and, like, sell pieces?
Well, I thought about that, so I've got ideas for that too.
Well, I know we talked about making it an aquarium or something at one point.
Making it a bar.
That was it.
And taking all the keys out and everything like that, and using epoxy, making guitars out of that. And there's a few ideas that I have.
It's going to end up in the dump.
Well, the problem is the cast iron backer board that's inside. You cannot lift this thing with less than four people.
You say it's upstairs?
Yeah.
How did you get it upstairs?
The movers brought it in. So I have to...
Well, speaking of opening walls, is it on wheels?
It is on wheels.
At the top of the stairs. Do you want the bottom of the stairs open?
Yeah.
Can do that for you.
I'm gonna have to lay it on the floor and tear it apart. Put it down some plywood, tip it over.
Or get four people to haul it out to the garage.
Yeah.
And have a sledgehammer party.
Yeah.
I got a sledgehammer and a pickaxe. They're calling your name.
It would make a nice little bar serving area.
In the basement.
Yes, not in the upstairs. It's got to go. It's got to go.
Where's Derek? Upstairs, drinking at his piano again. All these big old plans.
Yep. Not enough time to do them.
No. Well, this is our year. I was saying to Tracy there, says, some days I feel like a fraud because I haven't been on the water in so long.
Yeah.
So you do paddling all the time. When was the last time you were out?
Hey, your monthly paddle thing, did you?
Oh, I did the full year.
But is there any months recently you didn't paddle at all?
Yeah. I did my year and that was
not done with that.
Yeah. No, you know what? We've been spending so much time doing stuff, getting stuff done around the house that we've been putting off. And then with Tracy's mom and with Ariana getting ready to go, our whole summer's just been kiboshed. We were supposed to be on three trips already.
Oh.
And every one of them got kiboshed because of all this. Needless to say, I'm not happy, but... is what it is. I will be doing a lot of late fall canoe trips.
I got a plan, or I intend to plan a quick weekend getaway this weekend with my daughter. We're going to find an empty campsite somewhere and head out and...
Renting out my backyard if you're interested.
Is you going to put a pool out there for me? Does a kiddie pool do?
I got the dog's got a pool you could use. Dog might jump in there with you. I take it last weekend we were doing all the stuff with Ariana and the yard and stuff. I take it you never got up to the lock and paddle at the Peterborough Lift
Lock. No, I didn't make it up there. It was, I was doing stuff. I was busy around the house and whatever. We had stuff to do, and the kids had, Beckett had a birthday party to go to that we had to get him to. So I wasn't going to.
Yeah. Well, there's about 625 people apparently went.
Yes.
Both tubs were filled.
Yeah. And it's spreading like an infection.
Right. Now, Ottawa's Hartwell Lock apparently had a lot of people. And okay. Montreal's Lachine Lock.
Yeah.
Didn't find much on that one.
I've
not seen any numbers.
No, I haven't. I looked for some stories on it.
Yeah.
And
there were some pictures saying, hey, look, everybody having a great time.
Yeah, but yeah.
No numbers, no information. There was just a couple of pictures.
But the Peterborough one, like, it was
huge.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there. And it's so neat to see all the, because paddle craft are so colorful.
Yeah.
And it just looks like this, Jackson Pollock type.
All I know is if the two tubs, because they put them side by side.
They leveled them out. Yeah, I saw the picture of that.
And if they were leveled out and they sat there for a while and something jammed and they were stuck up there, I would be down. Part of me would be going, ooh, this ain't good. The other part of me would be going,
well, I wonder if in an emergency they could pop the gate off and just drain them into...
Oh, everybody coming like over top of a beaver dam. All these kayaks and canoes just... you'd have to hope you're at the back.
Yes.
Because whoever's out first is getting hammered by everybody behind
you. Everybody's going to land on you.
Right?
Yeah, drop the gate!
I don't really know what would happen if they could... I got to think they'd be... They're not opening the gate. Because what if there's big boats in there? I mean, you got to think.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Big boats. So it's all, so there's no physical machinery. So it is all, it's all weight. It's like, it's all how much water is. So if you drain like a ton of water out of one side, it's automatically going to be off balance and one of the heavy ones going to drop.
But the wheels and stuff like that are on there.
That's just guiding.
I know. But if something like that jams and won't budge, I'm sure there's a way to stop that thing from going up and down.
He said with an evil smile.
There's got to be some. Yeah, I mean, nothing's perfect.
No, of course not.
So, but I wonder if
so. There's valves.
If something ever happened like that, where the two of them just jam, I wonder what they would do.
I mean, you just drain some water from one side.
How long people have to sit there?
Yeah.
If one of those tubs wouldn't move all of a sudden,
yeah,
and it was halfway down or up,
mm-hmm,
how long people would have to sit and wait?
But it's all hydraulic pressure too, right?
Things happen. Things. You are old enough to know in your life things happen with no explanation.
Sure, but it's not a mechanical machine. It's all just water. It's a balance weight.
Doesn't matter. Things happen.
Sure, fine. Things happen.
Which brings me back to my original question. I wonder what would because you'd hate to be sitting there going, oh, stuck on a hot day or even a thunderstormy day.
Yeah.
And you're stuck halfway up in your big boat.
Or halfway down.
Are you a halfway up or a halfway down kind of person? And then, would they have to like haul you out of there and just leave your boat?
They could do that. There's ladders on the side.
Right.
They could do that.
All right. I'm out.
They could evacuate the people. Yep. That would work.
So you left with a boat and you came back without a boat.
Yeah.
Care to explain? No. Anyway, it sounds like they had a great time there. It's absolutely huge. It's going to come to a point where they will not be able to fit everybody in.
Have they had that? I haven't read.
Well, I know I saw pictures, and there were people down below. Maybe they're just
maybe
late.
They got late or they got turned away. Like, I wonder if they've ever had to turn people away. It's like, no, we're full.
Yeah. The times I've gone, they've never had to turn anybody away. And they are packed to the gills.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like you say, it's pretty cool to see all those colorful canoes and kayaks stuffed in one of the two tubs there. Um, hopping on a train,
mm-hmm.
driving the train.
A train? Do you have to drive the
riding,
train?
Riding the train as a passenger.
Yeah.
Being on the train as a passenger.
Or as a hobo.
Going, or as a hobo. That'd be cool. Train riding hobos.
Yeah.
With, like, a foldable canoe. Jump the train with it on your back. Ride way up. Jump off the train.
Yeah.
Paddle all the way back. Awesome. Hobo yakking.
Ooh. There you go.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like pack rafting.
Yeah.
But without packing.
Yeah.
It's like bike rafting, like, but no bike.
It's like the northern trains. Instead of dropping you off on a siding, they stop you jump at a bridge.
Off. No, you jump off before you get to town.
Yes.
Oh.
Into water.
We have to do some research into how hobos used to ride the rails. Anyway, but taking the train, heading way up the river, getting off the train and paddling has always been a pretty cool thing.
It has, and I've done it.
So have I.
Yes. Yeah. It is very cool. It's an interesting way to start your trip or end it, depending on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so.
You can.
Disco Tazing is where we went to.
Yeah, we did up to Moosonee.
Okay.
Yeah, we got off the Moose River crossing and paddled up.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I want to do that with the family.
I'm still waiting for you to do it. It's going to be good. You can paddle the St. Louis River Estuary National Water Trail and ride the Choo Choo Paddle Shuttle Service.
Do you call it that?
That's
the Choo Choo Paddle Shuttle Service.
Yes. Lake Superior and Mississippi Railroad, the LSMR, partnered with Spirit Lake Marina and RV in Duluth, Minnesota, to shuttle kayakers one way upriver so they can paddle downstream. Tickets are purchased directly from Spirit Lake Marina and RV. The train picks you up at the marina while the marina transports your boats to the Boy Scout landing about 4.5 miles away by car. And then you get to enjoy the sights as the train goes along the St. Louis River. Your boat will be waiting for you at the end of the track near Boy Scout Landing, and you enjoy paddling downstream back to the marina. That sounds pretty cool. That's like a perfect day trip sort of thing, right? Spirit Lake Marina, a multi-purpose boating store on Duluth's west side, was an old shipyard from World War I and was used during World War II, says owner Charlie Stoudour. You just can't imagine the scale of it and the number of people it took to build it, he says. They were one of the main many industries along the St. Louis River, which flows into the port of Duluth and Lake Superior. Now people come to see the river in its newest capacity as the St. Louis River Estuary National Water Trail, designated in 2020. Local, state, national agencies and nonprofits work to clean the river up and land along the river and add recreation areas and hiking trails. Also restored were the tracks for the volunteer-operated Lake Superior and Mississippi Railroad train, which returned to the rails late summer 2023. So last summer they started this.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. You see the pictures of it, and it's pretty cool. There's a yellow 1946 locomotive. Stops at the marina to welcome passengers aboard as participants in the Choo Choo Paddle Tour. I don't make the names. I just read what the articles tell me to read.
So I had to look up the location. It's at the nose of Lake Superior.
You know,
What is that? The head of the
dog? The mouth. The estuary.
It's right at the nose of the dog.
Oh, yes. The wolf. The wolf head.
Yeah.
Passengers who wanted to experience part of the narrated train ride, and then they paddle back to the marina. As the train's two 1912 passenger cars.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
And an open-top safari car travels along the shore of the Spirit Lake, a widening of the St. Louis River. The narrator points to Spirit Island, which played a role in the founding story of the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe.
Hmm.
Train passes Munger Landing, a newly restored boat ramp and Fishing Pier and the former U.S. Street Superfund site at Morgan Park, where new trails and native plants crisscross a 92-acre green space. You can sit in the safari car out in the open air as a train passes a narrow causeway over Mud Lake and pass Radio Tower Bay. So, yeah, there's this open car that you can go sit in and ride outside.
That's amazing.
As long as it's not pouring rain.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so you're just out there and the wind's blowing through your hair if you've got any, or your beard if you've got one. And, yeah, you just see this stuff on the outside. The train travels at a whopping 10 miles per hour. The speed it used between St. Paul and Duluth at the turn of the 20th century until it reaches Boy Scout Landing where your kayak is waiting. Now, they don't say whether if you're touring.
Take your own canoe or if it's a rental.
Yeah, they don't say whether you can do that.
Sounds like it's a rental.
Well, they are rental. They do have rentals, but I don't know if you got your own canoe.
Do they have a... Do they have a coach cart or what do you call it? No,
they take them down by truck, like on a trailer.
So if you brought your own, they'd drive it up for you.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't actually say whether you can use your own if you've got to rent one for them or whatever. You enter the water and paddle under the double-decker Oliver Bridge. Trains are on the upper deck, which is cool. That connects Minnesota and Wisconsin as you begin your paddle back to the Spirit Lake Marina. People say she's the boss when it comes to paddling on Lake Superior, and currents can also vary in the country's largest freshwater estuary where the river and lake converge. Outside of the train tours, you can rent a kayak, try one of the waterway's 11 other suggested paddling routes, rent a fishing boat or pontoon, or stay on land by bike. So there's a lot to do when you're there. Interpretive signs are planned along riverfront trails that will tell the story of the Ojibwe migration and culture, trade and treaties, the rise of railroads and lumber camps, shipbuilders and steel workers, and the restoration of land and water, fish and wildlife, and wild rice fields. That sounds like a whole circle of life sort of thing, you know, when it comes to industry. With more than a dozen islands along the river, countless coves, and the Superior Municipal Forest on the Wisconsin side, you can lose sight of all civilization. More than 9,100 acres of parkland ensure that you can always find scenery and solitude in Duluth.
The train track follows the river.
Yeah. Yeah, so the train track, Lake Superior Mississippi Railroad, takes visitors along Duluth's 5.2 mile or 8.4 kilometer first railroad. So 8.4 kilometers, 5.2 miles, and it was like 4 miles by car sort of thing, which goes a lot faster. Mm-hmm. So that's why train leaves and they boogie on down with your kayaks and everything sitting there waiting for you. The first rail is Saturdays and Sundays from late June to mid-October. Go to DuluthRiverTrain.com for that information. Choo Choo paddle train and kayak tours can be arranged through Spirit Lake Marina, SpiritLakeMarinaRV.com, if you want to check that out. That's all pretty cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
You get a nice little toodly-doodly-doo narrated tour of the riverside, and then you take your time paddling back. That's like a perfect day trip if you're looking for something different.
Not to do it, though. So it's... To get there, it's 14 hours and 41 minutes, 1,387 kilometers.
Well, you can do other stuff along the way. You're not a day trip from here, if you, you wiener.
No, but to get there and do it, I'm not going to fly there. So if you had two drivers, you could make there one day. That's just one day of your trip. And then you have, that'd be neat.
Or you can do other river things along the way.
You could. You could
paddle other spots along the way and make that just a day trip.
Mm-hmm. Or?
Or you can just drive there one day, do that one day, drive back the next day. It's a long weekend.
See how long it takes to walk there.
Oh, yeah. How long to portage your canoe from my house to there?
See, so do you
a
know
week and a half.
What they need to do is, so right now you can click car bicycle,
bus, train,
subway, plane. They should have an option for water travel. You can go click on the little canoe and it'll give you the water route.
No, because then it'd be too many. Are you going by canoe? Are you going by kayak? Are you going by motorboat?
No. Just
are you going by yacht?
Just manual powered boat.
Walking.
So that's pretty cool. That's neat that they've, and so it's also neat that they restored this, like the tracks, and they've restored the trains, and they're putting used to it. It's
people. I mean, there's a whole romance of trains. There's so many. I've seen people, especially over in England, these old steam trains and that they come through.
Oh yeah,
they go nuts.
Yeah, trains
for these things, and I mean I. There was a train that used to come into St. Catharines called the Bullet Nose Betty. I believe it's out west somewhere now in Alberta. Yeah. But I remember it did its last run, and we took the drive down to St. Catharines so my dad and whatnot and could see the Bullet Nose Betty come in. And it was pretty cool to see the steam train come through because you don't see steam trains very often. And there was one that came through town here. It's got to be 15 years, 20 years maybe ago now. We went out to your way, Curtis, and they were because they said it was going to pass by this one road stop at a certain time. And the steam train just comes right on through, steam and smoke.
Oh,
and
right on.
Really cool, and then it was done. Like, okay, you're there for an hour getting a spot, waiting for
it. Was there a lot of people?
30 seconds. Done.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's rushing for their cars. Well, some people were trying to get to the next stop, the next stop, thing, right? Yeah. No, we saw it once. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of people there. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
But, we've got a couple here up in, is it Beaton? The Simcoe South Railway?
Okay, yeah.
That's not a steam train, but it's, I don't think it's a steam train. I think it's an old diesel, but still the same thing. It's like you get these old. Yeah. We went down to Mackenzie used to be huge into Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, okay.
Growing up when he was little. And we went down to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They have a big train thing. And they had there's this Thomas the Tank Engine, a real one.
Yeah.
Life size that travels, I guess, the country.
Oh, yeah.
And it was coming through the States. And it was going down there. So we went down there and we had him standing. He was standing on a picnic table next to me. So he's standing up on top of it. And I said, "Who's that?" And he turns and he just as Thomas is coming down the track. Oh,
okay.
Oh my. I thought if little kids could have heart attacks, he would have been on the ground. Just his eyes, like there was no words, right? Seeing Thomas coming. But there's so many people there just to see trains. And it's like, wow. This is like huge.
Very cool. Very cool.
And people just love that sort of thing. The old, like I say, it's the whole old romance of a cross country train tour or a slower train trip. Not like the bullet trains and the Via nowadays. I mean, I'm going on the highway at 120 kilometers an hour, and the Via train's keeping up with me.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. So that's pretty cool. But, you know, and then with this, being able to, involving paddling with it is pretty
cool.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's cross the pond here, speaking of the UK. And here's a little one that came up. With the Olympics coming up, it's the perfect time for sports organizations to try to get...
a week away, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah. Everything is Olympics right now.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening in paddle sports? Well, the Olympics are coming. This person, there's this last minute competition, and these people are now on the team, and those people, and here's what's happening. Everything is competition-based when it comes to paddling right now.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is a perfect time for organizations to get people involved in their sports. One of the things I came across, and this is one of our humdingers that we always enjoy watching. If you haven't watched canoe polo videos.
Oh,
watch it.
Yeah.
Canoe polo is a thrilling, fast-paced team sport that's gaining popularity across the UK. It's a bit like water polo, but with kayaks. two teams, and that's why that's the one thing we always said. Well, why is it canoe polo if you're using kayaks?
Yeah.
Single-person, small kayaks. Two teams of five players compete to score goals in raised nets, combining paddling skills, ball handling, in an exciting contact sport.
And
first you're being contacted in the face by the end of a kayak.
Exactly. First time I saw videos of it when we first discovered this, it was like, you get used to it pretty quickly. But yeah, still, the first few hits, it's like, oh, what was that?
That massively fast, violent hammer to somebody's chest with the point of a kayak.
Did you just see a violent assault?
Right?
What's going on?
Canoe polo is played on rectangular pitches set up in swimming pools or on flat stretches of water. You'll find matches happening all over the country, from London to Edinburgh, Manchester to Cardiff. Players can throw the ball by hand or flick it with their paddles, aiming to score in the opponent's net suspended above the water. See, I'd get somebody with a really good pitching arm.
Yeah.
And just have them hover under your net and get it to them, and they can just whip it all the way across. Canoe polo equipment. There's a range of specialized equipment used in canoe polo. Main items are kayaks, short and nimble with padded ends for safety. I'm sorry, the ones we saw, there was no padding.
No padding. Yeah.
That was determined to be a lie.
Yeah.
Paddles, lightweight and designed for both paddling and ball control. Safety gear. We take safety seriously.
They do not. Actually, they changed the rules.
That was determined to be a lie.
Yeah, but they did. Last time we looked at it, they did change some rules because of the violence involved.
Yeah. Helmets, face guards, and body protection are all must-haves.
Yeah.
You know, like you start looking at
my old chest.
Yeah. I've got a kayak sticking out of my chest. You don't see what's underneath their jackets that they're wearing, right? You got your safety, you like your PFD.
Yeah.
You got some sort of water-ish repellent, because you know, suit on, and then you don't know what's under there,
like a bulletproof vest,
like football gear. You know? And you mean this is the thing I like: skills you'll develop playing polo. Canoe polo is brilliant for improving your all-around paddling skills. Kayaking technique. You'll become a more confident and skilled paddler. Canoe polo requires precise maneuvering in tight spaces. Players need to quickly turn, accelerate, and stop their kayaks, which greatly improves overall boat control skills. I'm talking whitewater kayaking.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Right? So, I mean, if you're going to the Olympics, first you're doing your canoe polo.
Yeah.
And then you go over to the whitewater events and compete over there. sky's the limit. Enhanced balance. It is not just about speed, staying upright while reaching for the ball, tackling opponents, or making quick turns significantly improves a paddler's balance and stability in their kayak.
And getting run over.
Like,
it's like a derby, like a crash derby.
You got to have those arms to push that other kayak off of you.
Yes. Pull the kayak out of your chest.
Teamwork. Learn to work effectively as part of a team on the water. Working with teammates in a dynamic environment enhances team communication skills, which are valuable in group paddling situations. So, you know what? When you look at the skills you'll develop while playing polo, that is, like, so good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
You
know,
there's so much that you can benefit from here. And like I say, especially if you're looking to do beyond just polo, you know, and you go out and do some whitewater kayaking and stuff like that, really helps your skills. Competitions in the UK. We've got fantastic competitive structure for canoe polo in the UK. There's the National League with categories in open, women's, and youth teams. Regional events, grassroots tournaments happening throughout the year. Summer tournaments. Many UK canoe clubs host large outdoor events, attracting teams from across Britain and even internationally. Great Britain has been a key player in developing canoe polo globally and are proud to be one of the world's leading nations in the sport, regularly competing in world and European championships.
Hmm.
So it seems, I mean, we joke about it because
it's
bloody
shocking. Yeah.
Watching this and these people. I don't know that I would. Maybe if there's an old person's league. If you never played before, no? Ah, don't worry. Just throw on a pair of skates, grab there a stick, and we'll go out and play some hockey. There's no contact. That's what I'm talking about. Get me out there, that kind of thing.
I can see this in the future becoming an Olympic sport, even if it's just an exhibition thing.
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. So, paddleuk.org.uk/canoe-polo for more. Or just go to paddleuk.org and click some tabs.
Yeah.
You'll find. Yeah, canoe polo for more information. But if you've never seen canoe polo before, go on YouTube, do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
And prepare to be shocked, amazed, and laugh your butt off. Like, oh my God.
Wow.
I will guarantee that some of your buddies that are into the whitewater and stuff, you're going to, dude, watch this.
Check this out.
You're going to be sending them the links to these videos. Canoe Polo, Paddle UK, they're really pushing to expand and get more people interested.
Well, the more people interested, the more expands, more interest. It brings money into the sport, helps and if you want to make it an Olympic sport, you have to get a lot of people interested. I can see that being a thing someday. I don't watch a lot of sports normally, but when it comes to Olympic events,
I always thought it was an Olympic event.
But I would have thought, man, I wonder if it's something to Google, maybe. Maybe it's been an exhibition event.
So, back to this side of the country. Do you remember we talked about the lady last week that stole a canoe? And when cops tried to get her, she decided, I'm getting naked and stealing a lobster.
You'll never attack me. You'll never capture me if I'm naked, but you'd be afraid to touch me.
A naked man was rescued from Lake Erie on Wednesday, the United States Coast Guard said. There's a disturbing trend starting. In a post on X, the Coast Guard said they received a report of a stranded naked male on a water intake crib Wednesday morning. The Coast Guard Cleveland Harbor arrived on the scene with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. I don't understand how they would be involved. and rescued the man from the water. It was determined that the man had been kayaking when his kayak capsized and he became stranded. Coast Guard transported the man back to shore to EMS, but did not mention his condition. Coast Guard did not mention why the man was naked. How can you not say something? Because anybody that came across that article, why was dude naked?
Well, yeah.
Is it paddle to work questions. Naked day?
Yeah. I have questions.
Hello, United States. I'm from Canada, and we run this Paddling Adventures radio podcast, and we got questions about the naked guy.
Primarily, why was he naked?
What the heck was he naked? So I was out there paddling my kayak in the nude. I capsized, couldn't get in, but I managed to get up on this intake crib. Next thing you know, the Coast Guard's there, Ohio Department of Natural Resources is there, and they're taking me out to the hospital there, and here I am naked. It was a great day. Well, we call that Tuesday at my house. Anyway, yeah. So that happened. So we'll see if there's another naked paddling incident next week.
That's two for so far. They come in threes. Everything comes in threes.
Right? There's this guy, Derek Specht, was found naked in his canoe this week. Please don't know why he was naked.
Please no.
He was eating peanut butter jam sandwiches. And reading a book.
He seemed quite relaxed.
Things happen. That's all I got to say. No judging, just curiosity. Shamar Allen, a trumpeter from New Orleans, took to the stage sort of in Toledo, Ohio on Wednesday night. Mr. Allen was the first of three performances this summer at the Maumee River as part of Black Swamp Conservancy's Paddle and Groove series. He played on a pontoon boat as listeners kayaked around him. How cool is that?
That would be very cool.
Now, a couple years back, I was with Alan Drummond from Kingdom Outdoor Products, and we were paddling through Center Island.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Around the island.
I remember when you guys did that.
The night before, I had been down at Budweiser Stage to watch Iron Maiden concert. Oh. Their second concert was that night. So we paddled over there, and we're listening to an encore presentation of Iron Maiden.
Cool.
Right on. Sitting in our kayaks.
Yeah.
And it was rather cool because it's night.
Yeah.
There's some lights around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the music is just like, I mean, it's not as loud as being in.
No, exactly.
But
you don't have trees and bushes and houses to block the noise. So it's just floating across the water. Noise carries so clearly across water.
But I mean, we were right outside. Like if there was a baseball game in there, like and somebody hit a baseball, we'd be there to catch it.
Oh, okay.
Like we're that close, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the same sort of thing. Attendees launched their kayaks from International Park at 5:30 p.m., paddled downstream towards the sunflower murals on the Glass City River Wall. I guess if you're there, you know. The goal of the event was to provide listeners with a unique concert experience and increase awareness of the Conservancy's work both upstream and in the downtown area. Tickets were $15 for those who bring their own kayaks, $45 otherwise. Tandem kayaks were also available for $60. Children under the age of 18 were only able to attend in a tandem with an adult. Next two concerts will feature Charlie Millard Band on August 14th and Ben Gage Band on September 11th. Blackswamp.org if you want more information and tickets. But how cool is that?
I don't see the article that I thought I read said that they were encouraged to bring their own source of like a Bluetooth speaker or something. Did I read something different?
Oh, you just did. You did. But wait, we're not done yet.
So there's more than...
There's more! But wait.
Oh, that's the jazz one that I was reading. There we go.
Now we're getting there. Yeah. So I saw this one. And even I was thinking, like, if you got a, like, a rare, I mean, I'll use, like, Duffin's Creek, our local river here. If you were to be able to put a pontoon boat there with a new band on it, and you had people in chairs on shore.
Yeah.
And then other people in their kayaks.
Milling about in their kayaks.
Yeah. Everybody gets a different type of experience.
Exactly.
At the lake shore.
Hmm.
Or the river shore sort of deal.
It'll be fascinating.
But it'd have to be an area where you're not going to, you know, affect all the wildlife and stuff like that. But that'd be pretty cool to do something like that. Well, there is in Denver a 25-acre feral lake. Giant swan boats are popular rentals for paddling around this lake. But kayaks might give them a run for their money when it comes to the Jazz in the Park series. This is the other part you read. Mm. Totally different.
Yeah.
So we've gone from Toledo, Ohio to Denver, Colorado.
Holy Toledo.
Attendees of City Park Jazz, which takes place Sunday afternoons over 10 weeks every summer, may have noticed kayaks floating behind the City Park Pavilion stage last summer when resident Emerson Smith first got the idea of getting friends together to listen to the concerts. He invited more friends to join him this year and secured their commitment to doing it as often as possible. Last week, he had 10 people join him. Enthusiasm made me want to see how big we can make it, says Emerson, who picked up 50 followers on a Reddit post, most of whom he doesn't know. Now, he's made a bit of a joke saying, hey, come on out because there's these giant swans. We need to protect the people from these giant swans, right? He's made a bit of a joke of it. Emerson has not heard any concerns about his semi-organized gatherings from Denver Parks and Rec, including limits on the number of watercraft on the lake. Hand-launched boats are allowed at nearly all of Denver Parks' lakes. No permits required, according to their website. A sound-producing device and at least one life jacket per person aboard is required to be on the vessels, officials wrote. So he's done some research. He says, the only research I did was to confirm personal kayaks and stuff are actually allowed on that lake. I asked ChatGPT, and apparently we can fit about 11,000 12-foot kayaks comfortably on Farrell Lake. So that's the goal. 11,000. He says, it's not all a joke. On his Instagram bio, Emerson not only mentions defending people from giant swans, but adds, sometimes we pick up trash.
There you go.
The next meetup is August 4th, and gloves, trash bags, and two extra grabby thingies will be provided. That's the technical term, grabby thingies.
Grabby thingies, yeah.
First come, first serve. Emerson wrote online, most of the trash is caught up in plants and is hard to reach while floating, so he plans on walking the shoreline too. Swan boat and bike rentals are also available at the park from Wheel Fun Rentals, which sits just a few dozen feet from the Jazz Bandstand. People can also rent kayaks from Wheel Fun to confront the company's own Swan Boat Army, along with canoes and stand-up paddle boards. They offer nighttime rentals with LED-decked swan boats. Ooh. That can circle the lake's giant lit-up fountain. I saw pictures of the giant swan boats all lit up with the LED lights. That'd be something pretty cool to do.
Emerson. Emerson, yeah. Nice swans.
Emerson, nice swans. Emmer ducks. Cedar wings. Emerson gathers his own fleet in the southwest corner of the 330-acre park starting at 5:30 p.m. on Sundays. He recommends people who want to join him to meet up behind the stage if the show has already started. No boat ramp, but most of the shore is accessible. And despite the lake's natural beauty, be sure not to get any water in your mouth, he says.
What is he saying? What is
he says, you never know. The cheeky front will still continue, even as Emerson works to grow the gatherings. The giant evil swans are just too big of a menace to ignore. Performance of free nonprofit jazz in the park series, which began in June, continue through next month. Cityparkjazz.org for more.
That is
so again,
cool.
He gets people out. He started as a joke. Yep. Hey, there's these giant swans we got to protect the people from. But he gets people out there in the kayaks, and they sit there and they listen to the jazz music outside the place there. The concert theater, whatever they call it there. They just listen to the music and paddle around and have a good time. Great way to do your evening up.
It's a 5-hour drive.
That one's only 5 hours?
Yeah.
Not from here, it's not.
For us. Yeah, from your house.
Denver, Colorado?
Oh, no. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I'm still on the map with Cleveland. Still on the map with Cleveland.
Oh, Toledo, we can get there in no time at all.
Yeah.
That's the other one. That's the swamp one, blackswamp.org.
Yeah, that's going to be like 30 hours.
Yeah. Yep. But still, if you're into jazz, you will make that drive. Tracy's uncle is a drummer. He's played for a couple of bands and that.
Oh, yeah.
And him and this other fella got together. He's into jazz. And they started doing fusion jazz.
Oh. Yeah. Like,
I think that should be a criminal offense. I think people should be jailed.
It's like yoga jazz.
I think people should have their drums and trumpets and it's whatever like, taken like away if they're getting into
elevator music jazz.
No. It's worse.
Yeah?
It is 150 million times worse. It's like the two guys are off on their own little tangents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this doesn't sound cohesive. Oh, but it's not supposed to. It's fusion. It's sort of. He tried explaining it. I'm just looking at him like, bah.
It's better if you're on mind-bending drugs.
Oh, I tell you. But if you're into jazz, you will make the drive to Colorado. All the way to Denver. You'll launch into that lake, and you will go listen to jazz. And then drive back. You're going to be late for work on Monday. I'll just tell you
yes, that. Yes, just a bit.
What else we got here? Oh, after a bumpy start, Canadians Simon Carrier and Maxime Jaffrey have set off to kayak the Northwest Passage.
They started
at the beginning of July.
I had missed this. If it wasn't for Wes Hansen posting it on Facebook, I didn't even know this was happening. I just caught him a couple days ago. He was like, "Oh, this is they're here now," and like the first couple times he posted, it's like I just kind of ignored it at first.
Thought it was maybe him just rehashing some
stuff. Yeah, yeah. And then I realized, no, he's talking about a group. And then I realized it's a Canadian group.
Mm-hmm. Two people.
So that's pretty cool.
The pair planned a roughly 3,000-kilometer kayak journey from Tuktoyaktuk to Pond Inlet. So they're doing it the other way around.
The way that most people expect people to do it.
Yeah.
For some reason.
And see, that, like I say, this direction doesn't make sense to me.
Well, because you end up at you start at a lower latitude and you end up at a higher latitude, so it shortens your paddling season. Because Pond Inlet is a much higher latitude, so it's going to freeze up quicker in the fall.
If you start at, and we had this discussion with Wes, if you start at Pond Inlet,
you're heading
the ice
south.
Is chasing you at the end.
Exactly. Yes.
Whereas here, you're trying to beat the ice.
Exactly.
And your chance of doing that is.
Get slimmer. It's tougher.
Yeah. They need to complete an equally long road trip from Edmonton before starting. Car journey went smoothly until on July 5th, with a fair distance remaining, they found the Mackenzie River ferry out of order.
Oops.
Yeah, that puts a damper. You can't control everything.
Yeah.
It was unclear when the boat might be repaired. This left them with three options. They could wait indefinitely for the ferry, begin their adventure by kayak from the ferry terminal, adding a disheartening 300 kilometers of kayaking their already formidable distance, or kayak across the river to the ferry drop-off point and hope for another lift from there. They eventually opted for the latter and were fortunate to find someone waiting to cross the other way by car. With a ferry non-operational, the driver had time to kill and gave them a lift to Eskimo Lake near the mouth of the Mackenzie River and closer to the starting point at Tuktoyaktuk. After spending a night on the shores of Eskimo Lake, they finally began paddling July 7th. They're carrying 40 days worth of food and will pick up more supply in Cambridge Bay, which is about halfway through their journey. Some summer sea ice still blocks the Northwest Passage. 2018, for example, no vessels made it through.
Ice covered, yep.
Even large ships had to turn back. Other years, the passage has been wide open. Last year, Wes Hansen and his team became the first to paddle the entire passage in a single season. Good old Arctic cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Hansen's team paddled the opposite way, heading east to west, which, like I say, for me, that would be the logical
and
way to do
it. And it's not because it's east-west. It's because it's northerly to southerly.
Yeah. Currently, the melting of the ice is going well, but sometimes with the winds and everything, the ice moves onto the edge of the coasts. But there are many tools we can use to see how the ice moves, so we're well-equipped to handle that, they say. The duo anticipates the journey to take 80 days. Now, when I looked there back on Tuesday, they were about 600 kilometers, 275 miles in, but they had started farther down, not at Tuktoyaktuk. So they had that extra.
They had some extra length because they started at Eskimo Lake and because of the ferry, there's issues with the ferry. So they left their vehicle behind.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just have to get a ride back or paddle.
Well, somebody's, I'm sure they're going to have a shuttle or something. But
Yeah. Now, if you go to Wes Hansen's Facebook page, he is doing updates, and I like the fact that he's adding in little bits of what he experienced and him and his
in
team experienced
location,
in that location.
That journey, that time of the, when
because
they
I guess he gave them some of their points of landing points. So, there's fresh water here. And
oh, that's awesome.
You know, there's a nice sheltered bay here, that sort of stuff to help them out. So, which is really cool of Wes to do that. But he's posting little updates on his Facebook page, so go check that out. And I'm sure he's going to be posting more stuff about their next attempt next year, too.
Yes, that's exciting.
Keep an eye on Wes Hansen's page. Lots of stuff going on with that gentleman right there. And that's all I've got this week.
Mm-hmm.
From Lock and Paddle to train paddles to canoe polo to naked men to kayak and concerts and Northwest Pet. We just everywhere.
I know. We kind of wandered off the path. Some of it wasn't even water related.
Right? And books. And
yeah.
Smoking rooms. And some days it just goes mm-hmm. that way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'd be interested. Like, we kind of wandered off the beaten path this time. I'm wondering, like, when we do these podcasts, if we could get some feedback from our listeners to...
We're getting old. We wander aimlessly.
Our minds are wandering. But yes. How was the podcast? Somebody feed it back to us. Like, we know how many people listen to us, but we very rarely get actual feedback. Unless it's people who are listening for the first time saying, hey, I just discovered you. I'm trying to catch up. I'm listening.
Now, we get some emails every so often saying, hey, have you seen this one? Or yes. Here's some more information.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
On something you sent. You talked about.
That's one of our struggles is finding topics.
Falcon Kayak. Somebody sent me a message saying Falcon Kayaks. They're wondering if the guy we were talking about last week about the skin-on-frame canoe with the bike seat and the pedals.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a model. They're wondering if he took their design and sort of adapted it to his own.
Oh.
I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I'm going to go to Falcon Kayaks and check that. Very cool. Boy. But we get little things like that all the time, but... It's nice to have people come in, you know. Well, I mean, we do get people saying, hey, love your kayak, love your podcast, enjoy it. But
it's nice to get the interaction because then we know it's just not just our parents that are listening.
Oh, my dad never listens. Well, I put it on nonstop for the dog when I'm away.
Poor animal.
Animal abuse. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. But no, hopefully, I'm actually working from home at the end of this week.
Oh, really?
Get some things done. Just Thursday, Friday, I'm going to work from home and get a couple of things done at the same time. And maybe this weekend, I'll take one day, go out early and just...
Go for a paddle. There you go.
I need to.
Do it.
Got to get it done.
Do it.
Maybe not around here, though. Might go somewhere else.
Yeah. Make it interesting.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be nude.
No.
Maybe I will be the third.
No, don't do it.
Just get a whole bunch of buddies out there.
Nobody needs
a bunch of naked people were
needs
discovered.
To see that.
Well, don't look then. What are those people over there? No, stop looking.
That car crash. Stop looking. I can't help it. It's a car crash.
You get somebody with a canoe paddling ahead of you, like about a mile ahead of you. Naked paddlers behind me. Don't look. And then you get all these paddlers behind you coming up in a group, and all the people that are looking hold up a sign, you were told not to look. Perv. We'd be fully clothed. Oh, the fun we could have, I tell you. If that's all it takes to make my day, how bad can my life be?
Yeah.
Right? A nude guy joke. That's all it takes.
I remember years ago, I was living on Vancouver Island. Me and the woman I was with at the time, we stayed at an Airbnb on this in Island Lake. And it was nice. It was a nice romantic weekend. And, hey, we have canoes if you want to borrow a canoe. It's like, okay. So we paddled around. It's a modest size lake. So we circled around the edge, and as we passed a couple cottages, there's people suntanning in the nude on the dock.
How many times have you been on a backcountry canoe trip, and then people pull up somewhere, and then they go for a swim, and you're like, hey, I think they's naked.
But yeah, this girl, she stood up on the dock, gave a big stretch as we were like 15 feet away, and looked at us, and... did a nice dive into the water, came up, swam back, and climbed back onto the dock. And she was very comfortable in her nakedness.
Would that is that that why you've got that paddle-shaped dent on the side of your head?
No, that was from
looking.
That was from, what is it, not Misty. It's, what's down on the Petawaw from Misty? Daisy Lake. We're on Daisy Lake. We're sitting on the shore. These two girls paddled in onto Daisy, and where's it, Misty? Whichever one it was, and they were they paddled past us, and I commented, look at, you could see the way they're paddling. The, both of those two girls are very experienced because they were in tune. They were paddling hard. They're going good. And then, so an hour or two later, me and my wife went out paddling, go fishing. She was paddling. I was casting. And I look over, and the two girls were up. It's an elevated campsite. It's like 100 feet up. It's a cliff face type thing. And I look over, and I did a double take. It's like, what? And so they're both on the rocks in front of the thing. And so they were like 500 meters away. And I look again. And I look again. It's like, and my wife looks at me because I always carry binoculars with me. She says, don't pick up the binoculars. Whoa. I was thinking it. How'd you know?
Good thing I had that bionic eye put in.
But yeah, it was one of those once in a lifetime. It's like, whoa, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you see that once in a while. Yep, whatever. Yep. I mean, you see worse stuff on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like nudity doesn't mean as much as it used to when we were teenagers and looking through the Sears catalog at Christmas.
After we saw them, like they must have saw us out there fishing, because we, when we got back to the campsite, they came by, paddled in, said hi to us, asked if we saw some dead wood on the shores, and paddled on. And then on their way back past our campsite, they were singing "We're Too Sexy For That," you know, that song, "Too Sexy For My Shirt, Too Sexy."
Yeah, right, said Fred.
Yeah. And they sang it as they passed our campsite. It was like, they're having fun with this. They're messing with us.
Are you trying to get me in trouble?
Awesome trip.
Yes. All righty. You got nothing else to add this week?
I don't.
Besides your nudity stories?
Yes.
What other nudity stories you got?
Oh, I got lots.
This week's episode, Nudity with Derek.
Paddling after dark.
If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can download or stream our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com, and you can download or stream all our episodes there. 440 now. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.